Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.
Have you heard the news? Bad things come in twos. But I never knew about the little things.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. We're talking about food allergies this hour, folks, real and imagined. And before people start getting all sensitive about their kids' honey allergy and start climbing down my throat on this, let's take a look at some of the more prevalent food allergies. We're going to talk about them. We're talking about how popular they are, not just how many people have them, but for how many people for whom it's popular to have them. There was a time on TV where was Ross on Friends was allergic to kiwi, and that kind of helped people think that having a food allergy, something you cannot eat, makes you unique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's another way for people to be unique, like your iPhone cover. Everyone has the same iPhone, but the cover makes it all you. You know, therefore, you haven't submitted, and you haven't given in, and you haven't allowed your entire life to be taken over and use. I have an iPhone. I sold out. It's too easy to use. It's ridiculous. But the cover makes you you. You're not one of a million or one of a krillion. You're you. You're still get to be you. And that's why there's all these stores and little things and, you know, kiosks
I'm
at the mall.
I'm individual because I buy individual products.
Exactly. It's customized.
Mm-hmm.
You like customized stuff.
I do, yes.
Yeah. And who doesn't? Me, yeah. I have a little $1 black rubber thing that just keeps my iPhone from slipping off of stuff. That's not very unique or individual at all. I don't have a problem admitting that there's enough unique stuff about me to make me me without needing my iPhone to really convince total strangers. And I don't care about strangers.
Yeah, mine
really,
just typically. Has
except for you strangers
cover.
Listening out there, I care about you. No, not really. doctors are diagnosing more and more people with food allergies, and we're going to be talking about that. Mostly is you can tell a doctor anything. You have these symptoms. They'll agree.
Yeah.
They'll agree with you. They'll say, okay, well, I seem to get sick every time I eat this, this, and this. Oh, okay. Well, I think you're lactose intolerant. Oh, okay, I'm lactose intolerant. And then it becomes part of your permanent file.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's official.
Dun,
it's
dun,
documented.
Dun. It's on a piece of paper. It must be true.
Yeah. And your doctor wrote it.
Well, yeah, because you either have
and he's
it
like, and
or...
he's like God, right? Doctors.
That's
they have
the
their little God complex.
Yes.
So the doctor says it, it must be true. It's on your official record. It may in the future keep you from getting health insurance. Because if you've ever had anything wrong with you ever at some point, oh, you're lactose intolerant, we're not going to insure you. What?
Wasn't that changed now with the whatever Affordable Care Act or Obamacare or whatever it's called? You can get insurance now with pre-existing conditions.
Sure you can, but everyone has a pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
There is something wrong with everyone.
I agree.
Some people, it's just stupidity. You know, but is that really a medical defect?
No, but I bet everybody wishes they didn't have to insure them.
Well, right, because those are the people that accidentally walk off of short piers and stuff. There's a few really common allergies that, you know, one of them is milk.
Yes.
Easy to get over that one.
Yeah.
If you are allergic to milk, don't eat milk.
Ta-da.
They have a whole section of non-milk milk.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like milk. It tastes like milk.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be milk. And now it's not milk anymore. Now it's Lactaid or the generic brand lactose-free Knudsen milk, which I like. Tell you what I don't like about Lactaid. I myself am lactose intolerant and violently so. Actually, if I eat a yogurt, I have to take like 5 pancreatic enzyme pills.
Now, what if you eat like coconut yogurt?
Well, that's made out of coconuts.
So it's fine.
Coconut milk is not milk.
No. But just making sure it's not the bacteria in yogurt.
Yeah, well, actually, that makes people who are lactose intolerant just as sick. But there are varying degrees of lactose intolerance. There are people who can eat ice cream, they're fine.
Yes.
You know, and then they go and they eat something that has yogurt, and they get really sick. And by really sick, I mean you don't want to leave the house and go out in public sick. You know, you got to stay close to a restroom.
Mm.
You're stuck. You're in the house, you're uncomfortable, you're angry, bad things are happening to you all over, and, you know, you're not going anywhere. If you have a dinner party, you're out of the house, you have an ice cream sundae at the end of your restaurant meal, let's say you're on a date, you will need to immediately go home. Mm. There is no continuing that date.
So you eat the ice cream if you want to end the date.
that's a good reason to end a date. You don't have to have your friend call you and pretend to be your mom and say that the family dog just died, and then you leave your date. No, that's not. The emergency is you're a moron because you know you can't eat ice cream and you just ate ice cream. So now your date knows you're a moron. Eggs. People can be allergic to eggs.
Really?
Actually, a decent number of people are allergic to eggs.
I've never heard that. I've heard a lot of crazy allergies, but I've never heard eggs.
Yeah. Well, crazy allergies are just that. A lot of time they're completely imagined. Mm-hmm. People actually do get a sensitivity to eggs. And sometimes they can't eat stuff that has been prepared on dishes used with eggs.
Wow.
Like a nut allergy.
I have like peanuts. Everybody knows how deadly peanut allergies are and how crazy...
Yeah,
people
if you have
not crazy, but
if you eat
severe,
a cookie, like a non-peanut cookie that has been prepared on a cookie sheet that yesterday was made to make peanut cookies, you will go into anaphylactic shock.
You need a little, what is it
but
called?
But that's rare. Well, you need an epinephrine shot.
Epinephrine.
Yeah, and did you stab it? These people always have EpiPens.
Yes.
If you're allergic to something so much so that it will make your throat swell shut and you will die, you're going to have a purse full of those EpiPens, and you're going to have them with you everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a guy, you would have a strap-on under-girdle belt with like 50 of these EpiPens.
Forearm, like Black Widow.
Lodged in there like a bullet belt. And this is your armor. You would not leave the house without your belt full of EpiPens. I wouldn't.
No, me neither.
For me, it's easy. If I'm, you know, going to have milk, I just get the lactose-free milk. It's easy. Soy milk, almond milk, rice milk. It's all there. It doesn't taste very good in cereal. You know, you got to have like the lactose-free milk for that. That's common. You can avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
No biggie. Avoiding eggs. Eggs are in everything, and so are the little egg proteins and stuff they're used in just about all packaged stuff. You want to avoid eggs, you're avoiding packaged foods.
Exactly. The egg whites in almost everything.
Yeah, almost everything. And it doesn't matter what form they are in. If it used to be an egg, it will make you sick.
Wow.
So peanuts, big one.
Yeah.
Avoiding peanuts, kind of hard.
Yeah.
Soy. People can be allergic to soy.
Yeah, I think my little boy is, but yeah.
Wheat. A wheat allergy and a gluten allergy are not the same thing.
No, celiac disease and people who are avoiding gluten is different.
You are probably more likely allergic to eggs than you are to wheat.
Hmm.
People don't know that. Gluten stuff is and wheat stuff is popular right now. Tree nuts, such as walnuts and cashews. That's actually a little bit more common than a peanut allergy. A peanut is one nut. It's an underground nut. It's the only one that grows underground. All the other nuts grow on trees.
Mm.
Coconuts are not nuts, just so as you know. If you have a nut allergy, you can eat coconuts. And pine nuts and sunflower seeds. They taste like nuts. They're not nuts.
No, they're seeds.
Just do your homework. Fish, people can be allergic to fish.
Hmm.
Yeah. And people can be allergic to shellfish separately.
And isn't the same disease or allergy to shellfish and bees?
Like shrimp? Kind of similar, but no.
No, okay.
You can be allergic to shellfish and not be allergic to bees.
Okay.
And vice versa. There's a mollusk allergy where you can eat shrimp, but you can't eat things that have like a shell like a clam.
See, I always thought they just had a really bad oyster or clam or abalone got really sick.
It only takes getting sick from one thing that you can figure out what it is once.
And then you're like, I'm never
eating. To give someone
it.
An allergy that they think is a real allergy. Kids who have food allergies almost always outgrow their allergies. By five. Not always, but almost always. A lot depends on which food.
Yeah.
You know, if they're allergic to honey, that doesn't typically go away. Mm. They'll be allergic to bees, probably their bee stings their whole lives. And some are easier to outgrow than others. Most kids who, like, are allergic to milk and eggs or wheat, soy, they outgrow their allergies by the time they're five. 20% of the people who have a peanut allergy as a kid outgrow them. 80% keep it. Keep the allergy. 10% of kids with a tree nut allergy typically outgrow their allergy. So allergic to nuts, guess what? Pretty much you're allergic to nuts your whole life. Fish and shellfish and mollusk allergies you don't have them as a kid.
No, you don't know about them, yeah.
You get them later. No one's going to be giving kid a raw oyster shooter.
Why not?
You know, so, I would.
Yeah.
My kids eat anything. You know, they're as bad as me. You know, you tell them there's some kind of weird meat, you know, that's like barely cooked, just kind of blood on the plate. They're all over it. The more blood, the merrier. They're like little vampires. Most people do outgrow some of these things. When we come back from this quick commercial break, we're going to be talking about more food allergies, what happens in the body when there's an allergy, how you can avoid food allergies and get over the lies you've been telling yourself about the food allergies you don't actually have. Next on Food Fight Radio on KCBQ.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineintonight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, folks. I'm your host, Claire Katz. Marcus and I were just arguing about food allergies over the break here. We had a little bit of difference of opinion here. Don't you puff up at me, buddy, unless you want an angry Swedish chef on your hands.
I love the Swedish chef.
Uh-huh.
You know, he had real hands, not Muppet hands like the rest of them.
I know.
That's one
like,
of my favorite
parts. Makes me, you know, it's like the Swedish character is just like me. I have real hands, too. Hey, I'm part Scandinavian, you know. We can't let stuff go.
No.
We have stubbornish issues.
Issues.
I haven't had enough coffee yet. We have issues. I have coffee issues. Scandinavians invented lutefisk. You familiar with that?
No. Is that a new band like Ludacris?
No, but I totally go. Probably a lot of you have no idea what lutefisk is. I know Marcus doesn't. A fish. It used to be a fish. Now it's a weird, clear, bleached, dried, poisoned, rehydrated, and then dried again kind of Scandinavian tradition. We're you know, continuing our conversation on food allergies here, obviously.
Obviously.
This seems like a good way to do it. Lutefisk is a traditional Norwegian dish featuring cod that's been steeped for many days in a solution of lye. Until its flesh is caustic enough to dissolve silver cutlery. It gets worse. Wait. For those of you who don't know, lye is a powerful industrial chemical used for cleaning drains, killing plants, debudding cow horns, powering batteries, and manufacturing biodiesel.
Now, won't it destroy a human body if you pour it over there? That's how people
contact with lye will cause chemical burns, permanent scarring, blindness, total deliriousness, depending on whether you pour it onto a herring or your face. By the way, you can get it here in the U.S., lutefisk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, lutefisk. I thought you meant lie.
No, you can get lutefisk here in the States. It turns out it's more popular in the United States than in Norway at this point. Are we cleaning with it? Because...
Yeah, what?
Ew, you
what
know?
What do you do with this?
Is it a cheap alternative to maybe colonic irrigation? Here's my take on the stuff. Eat it or wash with it. Just keep it away from me. Do you think Jeff would eat it?
No.
If we bring in some lutefisk, do you think that we could get...
Is it clear?
It's see-through. I mean, they soak it in lye, and then they rinse it with water, and then they soak it with water. And it's been dried and salted, rehydrated, way really over-salted.
Why?
And then, right, why? Why? To preserve it.
They have so much seafood. Like, why would they preserve
I have no seafood? Idea what would possess a person to take a perfectly normal piece of cod, which is not toxic. It's fine. It's just fine. Fish. And then they do some stuff to it that makes it completely caustic.
Yeah.
It is chemical warfare on your tummy. And you can't eat it unless it's been professionally done. It gets, you know, salted, dried, soaked, bleached, reconstituted, poisoned. And then just all that stuff gets soaked out of it with fresh water over and over and over again until this cod now looks like a big square of jiggly petroleum jelly. And you pick it up with a fork and you eat it.
Fork.
See?
Wow, that's...
Nice how that worked out.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that up.
We're gonna get some lutefisk, and we're gonna eat it in the studio. We're gonna subject our poor abused bored up Jeff to the lutefisk eating.
Now it's a gelatin when they're
done. It's basically gelatin.
So
it's
do you put fruit inside of it?
No, you can't. And it's like it's not something you pour into a mold and make lutefisk mold. It's just a piece of ex former fish that is now petroleum jelly. You eat it. It's nasty.
Yeah.
Like it's a traditional thing that, you know, the older Norskies eat, to be sure.
Of course.
But, you know, it's on certain occasions and certain traditional holidays, you are eating lutefisk.
Blah.
And I'm part Scandinavian and, you know, I've never actually had it, but I know people that have and they say it is revolting. And we've eaten durian here in the studio. We've eaten birdie bots, every flavored beans. I don't see the problem with bringing in some lutefisk and subjecting our poor little bored up Jeff to trying some of this stuff. A large portion of the world eats it, but obviously we're talking about food allergies here,
yes,
folks.
I'm allergic to lutefisk.
A wheat allergy is an allergic reaction to foods containing wheat. It's one of the more common food allergies in children, wheat, but wheat can be found in many foods, some you'd never expect, such bread, cake, breakfast cereal, pasta, crackers, beer. I don't know how many people are feeding their kids beer. Soy sauce and condiments, ketchup. And gluten is protein storage, basically. It's found in the most commonly consumed grains. It usually is a byproduct of processing.
Gluten? Gluten is what happens when you mix wheat with water, and then you get gluten. That's what holds...
Yeah, it's a byproduct of processing.
Yeah, bread and all that. It's what holds it together.
So, sure, if you have one of these allergies, you can avoid the obvious things.
Yeah.
Like breads, cakes, pastries, things. Look for the gluten-free, whatever, wheat-free stuff. But... gluten intolerance is a little bit more prevalent than celiac's disease. You know, 1% is the general rule. And the treatment for both of them is pretty much the same. The thing is there's no reliable test. So if you have an allergic reaction to something that you're eating, it could be soy sauce.
Mm-hmm.
You could be allergic to soy. You could also be allergic to the gluten in the soy.
That's true.
Soy allergies are more popular percentage-wise than gluten. Chances are, if you're eating things that have gluten in them, you could be allergic to things made with eggs in things that also already have gluten. Tons of products have gluten and eggs in them. You could be allergic to the eggs. You're getting sick when you're eating soy. You could be allergic to soy. You could be allergic to soy sauce, which has gluten in it. You don't know. You could be allergic to wheat, maybe. You could be allergic to nuts. You could be allergic to things that appear to be gluten and wheat based that are made on equipment used to process things that are used to process nuts, you could be allergic to nuts. The amount of diary work and record keeping that is necessary to figure out what you are actually allergic to, this is something that can't be declared by a doctor. This is something that has to be done at home.
Yeah.
And it is meticulous, and it is laborious, and it is mind-numbingly long lasting. We're talking about 6 months to a year of methodical, painstaking daily entries into a food diary to figure out what you're allergic to. Therefore, it's so labor intensive that people make an assumption.
Of course.
They make an assumption based on what a doctor tells them. And most of the time, doctor is just saying, okay, well, last week I saw two cases of this. So therefore, yeah, it's a prevalent allergy. Yeah. And I'm just going to say that you have probably the same thing. They don't know.
They don't know.
The doctors don't know. You know your body, your family history, your kids, and your diet and what you're eating better than any doctor. And this is one of the many cases that doctors know less than you. Therefore, is the doctor really the best person to be telling you what's wrong with you?
Well, not for knowledge, like you're saying. You know, if you need to do all the work, if all the legwork's done by you, then you're just...
You don't need the doctor.
You don't need the doctor.
You're doing all the legwork. You're going to be able to pin that down. And this is either your well-being or your family's well-being or your kids' well-being. Yeah, you're going to do it. If you care, you're going to do it. You're going to get a little food diary. You're going to write down everything they eat. You're going to make sure that they don't eat anything that you haven't given them. And it's what? It's 6 months, a year out of your life. But you know what? You're going to get the right answer. You're not going to get decades of guesswork, avoiding foods that you're not actually allergic to. Most of the time, people are not allergic to wheat.
You know,
most of the time, it's not gluten.
Yeah, people are like, oh, I'm allergic to this and this and this and this. You're like, well, all those are kind of made in the same area.
Yeah, you're like, wow, you're kind of doomed, aren't you?
You might only be allergic to one of those, and it's appearing in all the other places at the same
because
time.
Things get contaminated with other things.
Yeah.
If you are eating processed food...
Yeah, you're eating everything at once.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Which means, guess what? If you want to keep a food diary, you want to keep it straight, you want to get the right answer, you can't eat any processed food. You've got to make everything yourself. You got to know what every ingredient is. And write that stuff down. Write it down. It's not hard. It's just labor intensive, which means you just have to make sure you do it. You'll probably be writing stuff down in your food diary for about 20 minutes a day. Every day. Don't you think your health and your kids' health and everyone's well-being and general happiness with life and not avoiding a whole section of foods just because you're mistaken about something that you're not allergic to? Just do the work. Really, don't go to a doctor. Don't do the half-ass thing that you do where you go to a doctor and say, I think I have this, this, and this. And then the doctor says, why do you think that? What symptoms do you have? And then you describe your symptoms, which are symptoms for everything. Mm-hmm. And then the doctor says, okay, I agree with you.
Yeah, because he doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
It's you. Yeah.
He is not testing you. There's no test for these things. Yeah. You've got to be politically correct on this show, right? We always have to be politically correct. No, we don't. This is our show. We can do whatever the heck we want,
no,
buddy.
No, my doctor is a woman, so I didn't want her listening to get mad at me. I don't want her getting mad at me, that's all.
Do you want a radio alias?
Well, it's too late
now. We can pretend. This is the Swedish chef, Marcus, who isn't actually Chef Marcus.
I was listening to you, Marcus, and I decided you have this. You better take this medication. It's going to...
Why would she care?
I don't know.
Honestly, a doctor is a doctor. The male doctors and the female doctors are all called doctor. Mm-hmm. It's a sign of equality. They have a little PhD at the end of their name. They get to be called doctor. Okay, doctor. We don't know if it's a guy or a girl. It doesn't matter. Doctors are the same. They get the same little designation.
Mm-hmm.
They all have little God complexes anyway. Does God really have a sex?
No.
Not really. They like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of keeps them going because they don't know bupkis about food allergies. There's a lot of things doctors don't know anything about. It's ridiculous. Do the work. Anyway, when we come back, we are going to be talking about fruits, vegetables. They are the most dangerous things in your house, in your fridge, in your kitchen, in your lives. They're dangerous. They're the most dangerous things you'll ever eat. They're in your fridge right now. You may want to keep it tuned. This is Food Fight Radio.
Modern Dentistry, the office of Dr. Amir Majavar and his friendly professional team members have been providing quality and affordable care to San Diegans all over the county, specializing in state-of-the-art cosmetic and family dentistry, including children ages 3 and up, porcelain crowns, veneers and lumineers, Invisalign, teeth whitening, and metal-free restorations. Rest assured the care you'll receive will be with the utmost precision and quality, and provided in a caring, nurturing, and virtually pain-free environment. Having completed a residency residency in cosmetic dentistry and over 200 successful Invisalign cases, Dr. Majavar is highly trained to create a beautiful smile just for you. Their office is designed with comfortable chairs, ceiling-mounted TVs, and noise-canceling headphones. Call Modern Dentistry and see what a difference a healthy, beautiful smile can make in your life. Go to sdmoderndentistry.com or call 858-259-4765. 858-259-4765.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Hand-tossed with the freshest ingredients. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio. I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me in studio, the wonderful and talented and very cartoon-like Chef Marcus.
Cartoon-like, thank you.
Do you know what horrible, deadly thing is in your fridge right now?
No, I just cleaned my fridge. It's pretty nice.
It's fruits and vegetables.
Those aren't deadly. Those are wonderful.
That you haven't washed properly.
Well, yeah, because I haven't eaten them yet.
Who knew?
Oh, no.
Produce is responsible for more missed work days than any other kind of sickness out there. It's not people sneezing into your food or probably even you touching contaminated doorknobs or microwave buttons. Most of the time, it's you trying to get in all 9 of your servings of fruits and vegetables every day. See, I told you that meat diet was a good idea. And veggies, I say eat less fruits and veggies.
I say eat more.
Same. But most of the time, let's say about 2.2 million people get sick annually from eating contaminated vegetables.
Now, is this in America or is this worldwide?
This is in America.
2.2 million. A year.
Million. With an M. That represents about 23-25% of the 9.6 million cases of foodborne illness each year. So that's a quarter.
A quarter.
Of the foodborne illnesses. We're not talking about people poisoning themselves, cross-contamination, whatever.
You're not talking about like someone putting their fresh veggies where there was raw chicken?
Yeah, that. This is different.
Okay.
We're talking about stuff that simply has not been washed properly. And this, I'm especially touchy on this, and here's why. Because recently, the sickest I've ever been in my life was brought about, put on me by a blackberry. An innocent, sweet, little, fresh farmer's market blackberry.
I just bought a bunch of blackberries. I was going to make the blackberry pie.
Make sure you wash them in acid, buddy, because washing them in hot water and rumbling them around and moving them around and agitating them with your little fingers, that does not clean them.
No, but I use veggie wash. It was the one with citric acid.
See, I wasn't using veggie wash.
No.
Most of the people out there listening right now don't have veggie wash in their kitchens. They don't.
Well,
they've seen it in the store. They walk right by it. They figure, I've never gotten sick from a leafy green vegetable in my life. So, yeah, you have. You just thought that it was because someone sneezed on you next to you at work. Or you touched a doorknob. People touch things that are contaminated all the time. We're actually more physically able to fight off those kinds of viruses and bacterial affronts because we're more used to it. You know, our bodies are actually, they get immune to a lot of these things. We touch them every day. Like, I'm touching the desk. I'm touching this keypad. Touching, yeah, stuff on the computer. I'm touching computer
that's,
mouse.
That's Mark Larson's. I'd be careful if I were you.
Yeah, I'm touching the key, the letter K on Mark Larson's keyboard. I'm getting germs all over my fingers. And you know what? I could probably eat off of my hands right now. I'd probably be fine. Even if Mark Larson had a virus and coughed, and some of that cough cloud landed on that keyboard, and then I just touched it. I just got, like, within the past 72 hours that viruses and bacteria can live on non-porous surfaces, right? Yeah. Microwave buttons. You know, we were in there. We touched the coffee machine.
Oh, yeah.
We're contaminated.
Oh, no.
But guess what? We can probably fight all that stuff off. What we can't fight off is the stuff that comes in on fruit. We can't.
So how does it get on fruit?
Naturally.
Like the dirt and stuff we use?
They're all packed together, dirt, fertilizer, things like that. A lot of the time it's for natural fertilizer, things that people do. You know, people grow those things. They do use nice natural food for the plants, which is other animals' refuse.
Yes.
And nasty things. Mm-hmm. Goes on that stuff. It doesn't get washed off when it goes to market. And even stuff that is washed thoroughly. Let's say you get a bag of pre-mixed salad. It says triple washed.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to wash it. It's triple washed with water. Water doesn't get all that stuff off. It doesn't get the waxy residue that's sprayed on after the fact that holds and seals all that garbage and tiny microorganism amoeba get into your body and set up shop in your intestines for 2 months at a time sort of things. That just seals it in there. It's like putting a little shiny cover on there. It makes your food look pretty. It makes your apples shiny. We all want to eat shiny apples. You can't. You got to wash that shine off. You have to scrub it off with acid, apparently. This veggie wash, which I've so recently become completely addicted to, thanks to that foodborne illness I got driving back from Las Vegas, which, folks, you do not want to be driving back from Las Vegas when you get food poisoning. It's a horrible experience. I hope none of you out there, except maybe some of you who have cut me off in traffic and you maybe haven't been that nice to me. I don't know who you are. Or it's all random here. But one of you out there cut me off, I'm sure, because there's a lot of listeners. There's a lot of people on the freeway, right? It's actually, if you, it's a small world.
It's a tiny world.
Yeah. You will notice that you notice someone in life, say, at the mall. You're walking around the mall with your kids. You notice a guy in, let's say, a Where's Waldo hat.
Yes.
You're going to notice him because of the hat.
Exactly.
And then you go about your day. You also see that same guy in the grocery store 2 hours later, and they, that's weird, right? But then you see him again at a gas station across town later that night.
So you're stalking him.
Yes, in a way, but not in a way anyone could really prove. You know, nothing's been documented about me, I'm sure. Same guy. The same guy is following you around. How often does this happen when it's people you haven't noticed? Happens all the time. I notice this stuff all the time. You have. Everyone out there has. I know what you're talking about. Some of you have cut me off on the freeway. I never cut off anyone on the freeway, so none of you can blame me for that. I always let everyone in. Because I don't want whoever it is to have some sort of freaky road rage where if I don't let him in, he's going to run me off the road.
Or I'm always worried they'll run into the pole and not get in, you know, like not take
the exit.
Or
they'll miss their exit. And then, I mean, I've done a rant about this.
Yeah.
You're ruining someone's outlook on life by not letting them in. You really change everything.
Yeah.
You mess with the rest of that person's day. You may make them 5 minutes late for the job that changes their entire life. They may not get that job because of you. Their family will not have the tasty food that they could have had and the better house, the better life that they could have moved into if that guy got his job. And it's your fault.
It's your fault.
Your fault. So, you know what? I let everyone in on the freeway. I don't speed up when somebody wants to merge. I let them in. But some of you out there have cut me off. I know you have. You can get the food poisoning.
There you go.
Don't listen to this segment. Turn the radio off because I don't want you using veggie wash. You deserve to get the E. coli, the listeria, the salmonella, whatever's going to come in on your droplets that you pick up from the store. But get the veggie wash. It's ridiculous. Foodborne illness outbreaks from the past 11 years, 1998 to 2008, have gone up exponentially. We're talking about, it's all fruits and veggies, by the way. It's not the stuff that comes from contaminated beef, pork, poultry, and other meat. That's a small percentage of it.
Yeah, because we cook the heck out of that. There are so many rules in the restaurant about how to handle that, that everybody knows the proper way to handle contaminated fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, and if you don't, you probably don't. You're probably contaminating your kitchen. You know, get order from Dine In Tonight.
Here we go.
You don't have to ever cook another chicken or touch another raw egg yolk and then accidentally pull open the fridge door. Hey, you've just contaminated your fridge. That's a percentage of the foodborne illnesses. But fruits, vegetables, and nuts. Not a lot of nuts. I'm not peeling a lot of nuts myself and then washing them, because who would? They're all salted. You'd wash the salt off. That's silly. But that's in there too. Fruits and vegetables, the big culprits.
So is that because now we're using a lot more of the factory farm fertilizer? For the is that what it is?
Yeah.
Like the hormone
and they're
enriched.
All pushed. They're all put in there together. They're all packaged in there together. And there's massive amounts of these things, and they're on the truck for a few days. All these things spread.
Yeah.
You know they do. You have one contaminated head of lettuce.
Boom.
Boom.
One apple ruins the whole bunch.
That's why they have that saying.
Yes.
One bad apple ruins the whole crate.
Bunch, I think it is.
Is it bunch? Do you have a bunch of apples? I thought you had a peck.
That's a peck of pickled peppers.
That's a peck of peppers. What other vegetables come in pecks? What comes in a bushel? Is it a bushel of apples?
I think it's a bushel of apples. It's like a half barrel is a bushel, I thought.
How big is a barrel?
A barrel is as big as a barrel. You see those wine barrels, right? That's it.
I've seen casks.
All right. We're off topic.
Casks of wine and beer. Are we storing apples in barrels? Because that just doesn't... I think they're like wooden crates.
Yes, right? Which is a bushel.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, a crate's a bushel.
Because it's kind of like half barrel size. So yeah, it's a bushel.
You really know these crates and barrels.
I grew
are
up
you,
in Sonoma.
Are
in
you
wine
a
country.
Quaker?
No, I'm not because, a Quaker.
Okay, so we're talking about one bad apple spoils the whole bushel.
Bushel.
Right? And that's just weird. I feel funny saying that.
I believe it's bunch.
Okay, it was one bad apple spoils the bunch. That sounds better. That flows out of your mouth better.
Yeah.
One bad apple spoils the plastic hermetically sealed bag of apples.
That
sure.
Is accurate, but sounds
all stupid. These things are kind of crammed together in the produce section in the grocery store. They stay there for days. They shuffle them,
uh-huh.
You know, and people don't always buy them. They put the old nasty ones on the top.
Oh, yeah. They FIFO, first in, first out. So, yeah, they try and get you to buy the ones that are about to go bad.
Yeah.
So they don't have to throw
them
away.
The ones that are covered in crud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that. Dig.
Dig. Or,
dig, get
or
the
buy
fresh
food
ones.
At farmer's markets.
Yeah, farmer's market. Is that so hard?
Yeah, because they're not getting the contaminated fertilizer from the factory farms. They're getting local stuff.
Yeah, so your chances are much better at not getting a foodborne illness from your fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are hard to wash.
Yeah.
They really are. I mean, it's the druplets. The
druplets.
You know? And one final thing we wanted to kind of bring up is one thing we brought up on the last show is the land use efficiency. And people eat less fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. eat more meat and dairy products. You'll use less land.
Mm-hmm.
That's always good. I'm kind of curious as to why we haven't figured out how to reduce our requirement of land for cemeteries.
You know what they have in Switzerland? What they're doing now is they're freeze-drying the people, shaking them. And then so all of their nutrients get stored in pretty much a cornstarch-sized box,
mm-hmm.
putting those under plants.
Nutrients.
The nutrients.
Can you liquefy it? You can get it. It would be kind of cool.
You can get it powdered or liquefied, depending on
it's an option. So the liquefied one is maybe a little bit cheaper, maybe more expensive. You can take this stuff home. Here's your relative.
Yeah.
You know, you take them home. You can put them in the backyard. You can grow a fruit tree.
Yeah.
And with this stuff. It's like... Well, it's good nutrients, right, for the tree.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're putting in the soil
uh-huh.
around your tree. It's liquefied,
uh-huh.
you know, easy for the tree to suck it up. And then that tree grows fruit.
Yes.
And then you eat the fruit.
Yes.
You are eating your relative. You are a cannibal.
No. No, I don't think you're a cannibal, but you are eating your relative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that would be a good way to reduce our need for land for cemeteries, right?
Well, totally. If we turn
we're
all
eating
the food,
the fruit.
All
we're
all
cannibals.
The people
we're eating
into...
fruit made out of people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, totally.
Silent Green is people!
Awesome.
Awesome.
I'm not really against that.
No, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great way to keep your departed loved ones, you know, a topic. Always bring them up, the fruit trees, they're there.
I think a lot of people would feel weird about that, but I really wouldn't.
No, I think it's a perfect use.
I mean, it kind of depends. If it was like a sourpuss in your family, you could have a kumquat tree because they're sour.
Or
and,
lemon tree.
And if you're like a lemon tree, or if it's like or someone who is really sweet and wonderful, apples, oranges,
uh-huh.
apricots, Cherries.
Cherries.
What about cherries? Nice cherry tree. Grapevines. Hey.
There we go.
Those are awesome. Just don't. The wino don't in your put family. It on the. Oh, that's just that. That's ironic, and I love it. But don't grow anything with drupelets. I won't eat it. Get the citrus wash. Use it. Try to avoid dying from foodborne food poisoning with fruits and don't let a fruit or vegetable kill you, folks.
Yeah.
That's lame. Only a wuss dies from fruit and vegetable.
Get
just come on. What you can't your little immune system can't hold up to a grape? Ridiculous. When we come back from the next break, we'll be reviewing a great little diner in San Diego's mini city, La Jolla, where we recently had breakfast for a late lunch. Next week, we're doing dinner for breakfast, but it's going to be awesome. And of course, no show would be complete without a ticked off rant. That's all coming up next on Food Fight Radio.
When our kids started school, I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried to supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through eighth grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized and
don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinthenumber2night.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, folks. I have happy news on the bacon front. Marcus is not so happy about this. The bacon trend is alive and doing quite well, and it's living at Harry's Diner in La Jolla. Nestled between two equally decades-old shops in the tiny town of La Jolla within San Diego, it's a cute little diner that's been serving homey meals for 53 years, more than half a century, for those of you doing the math. You walk into a bustling old-time diner where you can grab a stool at the counter and have a friendly and talkative waitress lean over to you with a big smile and pour you a nice steaming cup of good, strong coffee. When she brings your order, she might share a story or two or ask about your day. The booths are cozy, and you get the soothing buzz of conversations going on and the clink of dishes in the back. It's nice. The food is even nicer. This place has all the great breakfasty things you love, like pancakes and waffles and great combos, but they also rock the boat with what they call a BW Benedict. That's bacon waffle turned into a nice big eggs Benedict that really rocks. Yep, there's bacon in the waffles, folks. They serve chicken and apple sausage, which you can't get anywhere else for breakfast, really. Being perhaps more patriotic than experimental, they serve a military staple, creamed chipped beef Navy style over an English muffin. This is basically a bowl of gluten served over more gluten. Because we're a gluten-loving country, I'm thinking that you're not going to be in line at the mess hall saying, hey, can I get the gluten-free meal? You'll get KP duty and get your butt kicked. Nope, we're going to be not going to be winning any wars on low carbs and gluten-free rations, are we? If you've got a they've also got a fresh tropical fruit craving. They've got a Hawaiian papaya fruit plate and real ice cream shakes with neat flavors. Like any good diner, you'll find root beer floats for when you can't decide between a shake and a soda. Harry's has good food, strong coffee, a rich history, and they know who they are, an American diner. No calorie counts or little green leaves on the menu indicating vegetarian options. No turkey bacon and no BS. I get the feeling that if you walk in here and ask if there are gluten-free items on the menu, the manager, Harry, will come out and slap you. Great place, great meal, and a little bit of history. I love this place.
And now for your moment of clarification.
Have you ever had a dinner guest say, hey man, I hope you didn't make anything with asparagus, dude, because I'm allergic. When this happens, I say, are you also allergic to onions, garlic, chives? No? Then you're not allergic to asparagus either. If you have a reaction to one member of the Lilisay family, then you should be sensitive to all of them. You just don't like the smelly pee that you get from asparagus, don't you? Get out of my house, you liar. Of course, that's just me. But this happens a lot. People claiming to have a food allergy when it's actually a preference. They are hassling you so they don't have to go through the trouble of pushing something off the side of their plate. You've spent hours making some tasty, pretty food, and this clown has no problem lying to guilt you into going to a bunch of extra trouble, making a whole other thing just for him. Such a lazy, selfish jerk should not be invited to dinner in other people's homes. That guy should have to cook for himself and stay at home forever. Again, maybe that's just me. You should all be mad at people like this, because this does happen a lot, and now, when people tell us they have a food allergy, we don't believe them. Classic boy who cried wolf. Stop lying about this stuff. It's serious. People can die. You want people to die just because you can't stop inconveniencing your friends? Shame on you. And then there's all you gluten people. You read a thing somewhere that if you've got these generic symptoms, then you're gluten intolerant. And another thing that says about half of all people now are thought to be gluten sensitive and this and that. Oh, this must also include me, you think. And then you read one of the side effects of this avoidance is weight loss. You think. That's a great way to lose weight and be a real pain at parties. You're feeling a bit dyspeptic and you turn to the popular culprit. Doctors say that symptoms of a food intolerance can include any number of stomach problems, a lack of concentration, migraines, aches and pains, skin problems, rashes, other skin symptoms, even brain fog and fatigue. You've just described a regular day in the life of every woman alive. At least you've narrowed it down. One of these doctors, who believe half of all people are sensitive, says about a third of those he's diagnosed report brain fog and headaches as their symptoms. Great detective work, doctors. You've just described me every Monday. I'm glad that $5 million study paid off. In reality, only 1% of people in the U.S. are sensitive to gluten. You think you're one of them? It's more likely that unwashed apple you ate for lunch. Look, if you always get sick after eating a piece of dry toast, then get back to me. Otherwise, it's more likely that you're just buying into the hype. Did you know there's no actual test for gluten sensitivity? So it's impossible to say for sure, which is another way of saying nobody knows. So all these studies are really just opinions of doctors who want to be right and others who want to sell you a book. So people will believe they are gluten intolerant because they have a rumbly tummy. There isn't one gluten intolerant person in China. They're selling extra gluten in stores there. You want to blame something? Blame yourself. It's you who declares yourself gluten sensitive, not a doctor, since even doctors admit there's no reliable test. And if you're diagnosing yourself, Dr. Egghead, then you have a fool for a patient. Because here's what happens when you go to the doctor. You say you really haven't been keeping track, but you get sick when you eat this thing. The doctor says, then says you need to follow a gluten-free diet, having no idea what he's recommending and relying on his patient for the diagnosis. So now your suspicions have been confirmed by an idiot who was only taking your word on it anyway. Now you're going to go all crazy, get rid of the gluten in your diet, in your life, and in your fridge. Then you throw out your kids' gummy bears because you don't want to be tempted. So you eliminate all bread and cereal and this and that, and then your symptoms miraculously go away. But you're still eating ketchup, instant coffee, smoked bacon, pickles, nuts, and you lick envelopes and use soap in the shower. All these have traces of gluten, sweetie, so if you're better, you've been barking up the wrong tree. It's this kind of cliff-diving lemming behavior that makes it possible for companies to sell us a bullcrap diet or book or food we don't need and make a ton of our money on it. It's because we all want an answer, a reason for our symptoms. Maybe it's too much sugar, too little protein, too many carbs, too much coffee, not enough water, not enough exercise, and too much TV. Maybe it's a lack of sleep from staying up all night believing every chat room on the internet. It's not one thing. Get it through your heads. It's not one thing. It's everything. There are way too many foods, chemicals, garbage going into our stomachs, up our noses, getting soaked through our skin, all the hell we put our bodies through every day, and you really think we can pinpoint one thing for everything that's wrong with us? Why can't you just admit that it's a fad diet? Don't pretend you're all allergic to gluten. That means there's something wrong with you. You think it's better to tell people you're genetically defective than to admit you're trying to lose 10 pounds? You think people believe anyone when they blame their weight problem on an overactive thyroid? Nobody believes that. And no one believes you when you say you're allergic to gluten. If you were really that sick, you'd be keeping a detailed food diary. So if you don't have one, get one. Grab a pen, write, "I eat too much junk and I need to stop believing everything I read," and go get some sleep. Tune in next week for a live in-studio interview with independent filmmaker Matt Medish, who's responsible for such hits as Attack of the Killer Eggplant and Snails from Outer Space. I'm just kidding. It's Marcus's good friend. He's doing a movie called Seder Ridge. It's a psychological thriller that will freak you out. We're going to be talking about him, have him talking about movie food. It's going to be awesome. We'll tell you what to do with that kumquat. We'll have Marcus's favorite nuts and seriously easy roasts. Also, what is that crock pot good for anyway? That's all next week on Food Fight Radio on KCBQ. Keep it tuned.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.